Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I mean, sometimes I'll be, if you ever see me in the office sitting at my desk just laughing like an idiot, it's because I got the TV on and I saw a pile inspector. Sometimes that comes into my brain, I just start crying.
There was
it's
a lot
so
of pile
good.
Inspectors last night in the San Francisco game.
Yeah,
it's wet. So good. They're like, I don't want to get it there.
No, that is the equivalent. It's the cousin to the hold me back dude,
hold
right?
Me
the
back.
Pile inspector.
The cousin. Or the brother.
Yeah, it's the brother.
It's probably the brother.
Yeah.
Hold me back. That's an NBA thing.
Yeah. I want to fight you, but I'm going to make sure my
you know,
teammates hold me
you know
back.
Where
so
else
I don't
is a hold me
you.
Back? Another is in boxing. It was a hold me back. So I'm watching the Ali documentary, and they had a lot of hold me backs in there. You know, because this was the first time they started doing those press conference joint deals, and Ali was challenging the dudes. But I'm like,
but he
really
was,
don't really want to mess up their pretty face.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing. Ali and Frazier once got into it.
Yeah.
In a television interview, they stood up. Ali threw him in a headlock.
But it wasn't the head. They showed the footage, but it wasn't even really no real headlock. It was kind of like a, you know, because he could have went to work on him if he really wanted to.
But I once asked, you know what's funny about that? I once asked Jalen Rose about this because we were doing radio in L.A. Key, you know, 710.
Yeah, well, ESPN.
So I'm like, so I'm clowning NBA players for always the hold me backs. And he had the best answer I ever heard about this. He's like, Max, how do we make a living? With our hands. We're not trying to jeopardize our hands in some dumb stuff.
You can ask Ron Artest about hold me back because he wasn't hold me back.
But he is.
No, but Ron Artest.
That's different. That's like one dude, right?
Ron Artest is one of the best dudes you will ever meet in your life. But Meta Ron knows he's got a little screw.
Yes.
Meta got a little screw. Meta's not wired like everybody else. He's a little different.
The dumbest thing in football I've ever seen, though, is when a dude has a helmet on and you
and
in training
to swing
camp
at
or
another
practice,
dude?
And then he swings at him. And like, what are you doing, man? It's like, what are you doing?
Really stop and
like,
think.
You are a defensive back. It's usually most likely it'll happen with the defensive backs and the receivers. Receivers get mad. They're going to swing at him with the helmet on. Like,
so
that's real smart.
So what's football etiquette when you want to fight? Like, hey, take off your helmet and watch what happens. Like, is that what you say? Like, or I don't. What
well,
do you
I
do?
Can show you how to get what you need to get.
I don't need you to show me nothing.
Yeah, none of those
fine.
Dirty plays he talks about.
No, right. You put on a helmet, you get them up underneath here if you want to. You can come up underneath the chin.
A lot of uppercut specialists.
Really? But a lot of dudes try to go through the face mask.
Fit your fist through the mask.
Dummy.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Double revenge game in L.A., guys. Matthew Stafford versus his former team. Jared Goff against McVay. And the Stafford, you know, Stafford versus former team thing. Stafford had 334 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. By the way, quiet as kept, Stafford is not only leading the league in QBR, but doing it by a country mile. He's having the best, as far as QBR is concerned, by a whole lot. And remember, Stafford is the king of the fourth quarter comebacks on a bad team. He's on a good team now. Where is he in the MVP conversation? Meantime, Jared Goff had 2 red zone interceptions. He's the first player this season with multiple red zone interceptions in a game. Goff has now lost 10 straight starts, including the playoffs. 10 straight. He's now 0-14 with any other head coach, any head coach not named Sean McVay. Here is coach on what he said to Jared Goff after the game.
No, I'm not going to get into it. No, as I said, great job. I'll touch base with you a little bit later on, but that was, so I guess I did just share with you what I said.
I was going to say, he said, I'm not going to get into it. Then he tells you what he
verbatim.
Said. Yeah.
Yeah. Look,
I found myself rooting for Jared Goff in that game.
Same here.
But
same
I knew here. In the end it was going to be Goff. You know, he was going to be Goffed. Let's just put it that way.
Don't do that to him. Goff.
No, I just knew it. As soon as he threw the pick, I said, well, yep, this is why.
What was the movie Kingpin?
And the pick wasn't his fault because he got hit.
Mm-hmm.
But it just nothing goes good for him. So bad. I just felt bad for him, man.
But I was going to say, Max, here's what happens sometimes too, Key. And like, you know, Jared Goff is talented. He's in that middle bucket of talent. But a lot for guys like that depend upon what talent you surround them with. And when you don't have talent around you to make your talent, which is middle of the pack, be more, this is what happens.
Coach really did make Jared Goff, who was the first overall pick, went to two Pro Bowls, went to a Super Bowl. Coach made him look, to me, better than he was, especially when he had Gurley there. But I got to hear that sound again, guys. McVay went from, just listen to McVay says, in one breath, Jay, you said it. I'm not going to reveal that. And in the next breath, verbatim, what happened? Coach, tell us again, please.
No, I'm not going to get into it. As I said, great job. I'll touch base with you a little bit later on, but that was, so I guess I did just share with you what I said.
Not a guilty conscience, but he feels bad.
Yeah.
You have to feel bad.
I don't think he feels bad because he wasn't rooting for Jared Goff to have success. I feel bad, Jay, because I wanted to just see a storybook ending and just kind of like, see, you got rid of me. I came in here and I kicked your ass. And, I wanted to see that, even though I knew it wasn't going to happen, just because I can look at it and just be like, looking at Matthew Stafford and looking at Jared Goff, it's like,
Actually,
I disagree with you, kid. I do think Sean McVay feels bad. I think there's a little bit of him that feels bad about the way things went down. I think there's a little bit of him that feels bad about the situation that now Jared Goff is in, the fact that this team, we could be talking about this team. And I'm not saying it's overwhelming that he feels bad, but there was a relationship there to a degree. Even though he's having success now, there was something there.
A working relationship.
Okay, that's right. It doesn't mean you can't feel bad about something just because you work with somebody.
No, it was a working relationship. Because if it was a different relationship, you don't send him out the way that you sent him out. You communicate with the person that you have a relationship with and let him know that this is what's getting ready to transpire, not disappear on him and then finally say what you said the week leading up to the game. And that's fine that the relationship was a working relationship. All I'm saying is in that particular game, when they're playing against Detroit, he didn't want him to have success.
Yeah, but you know what? I agree with Jay on this one, Key, in the sense that he is a human being. And even, of course, you're not rooting for Jared Goff if you're McVay. But it's even worse than that to me. This is how bad it is for Goff right now. I think McVay feels sorry for him, just like we all feel sorry for him. Like, damn, he's not the worst you've ever seen. But damn, talk about a fall from first overall pick and all that.
Sean McVay don't feel sorry for him, because if Sean McVay felt sorry for him, he wouldn't have moved on to Stafford.
He tried
to fix it as much as he could.
He tried.
I can feel sorry
y'all
for somebody.
Y'all got this on a Monday morning. Y'all got this high moral crap. We ain't doing that.
I can feel sorry for somebody and still know that there's a better option out there. I mean, I've gone about it the right way. I can still feel sorry
even,
for
yeah,
it.
And he didn't even
communicate with him. It didn't end right.
Jay, if you like somebody like that, man, you're not getting ready to communicate with him the way that Sean did.
All right, well, McKee, how about this?
I like them like that.
Jay,
I may not like you all the way. Don't mean I can't feel sorry
about the way
things went down.
Even if he doesn't, he has been on record saying he regrets the way it ended.
So even that could come out
in a little bit like, damn, I kind of did this dude a little wrong somewhere. Somewhere in there to me, I smell what you smell, Jay. There's like a little like pity.
That's why there is a need for him to feel to explain himself a little bit. Like, I'm not going to go into it. Because it's in there.
Oh, that was Straight Talk from Sean McVay, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It was Straight Talk. Get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, no contract. Straight Talk Wireless 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. By the way, I just looked it up again to make sure I was right. Matthew Stafford's QBR is 78.7. The next highest guy in the league, who has 21 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, as killing the game, leading the league in everything, is Tom Brady, 69.4. He is almost 10 points ahead of number 2, who's Tom Brady. That's the same distance between Tom Brady and, like, the number 12, 13 guy. Like,
Stafford's
killing the game right now.
Extremely well right now. There's no question about it. He's got the Rams in a great spot. The Arizona game didn't happen. He'd be in a better spot. MVP-wise, you start to think about the names that could potentially be out there. There's the Matthew Staffords, the Dak Prescotts, the Tom Bradys, the Aaron Rodgers of the world. I think Lamar Jackson chances got hurt based on the Cincinnati. Joe Burrow name will creep up there, but there's so many people in front of him. Even Derrick Henry is in front of Joe Burrow. So when you start to think about how this MVP thing can shake out at the end of the season, again, you got Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers.
Kyler Murray.
I mean, there's so many.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. before you even get to
Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Like, so there's I agree with that. Here we have favorites to win the Pro Football MVP. Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, all that. Lamar Jackson, obviously.
Yeah, they missing on Justin Herbert.
This is the only thing I'm saying, guys. I hear you about, like, Joe Burrow, for example. Like, right? Like, a lot of guys before him.
Yeah, a lot of guys before
him. But
you
the know. Way he's
Cincinnati,
coming
man.
On in the yes. season, I don't know if it's going to stay that way. This is fluid, as you say, Key, week to week.
Joe Burrow has the same odds as Patrick Mahomes. How is he even in the conversation if he has the same odds right now at Caesars as Patrick Mahomes?
He's
not even in the conversation then.
No, wait. He's ascending. You have to look at it's calculus,
right,
man.
But he's
those
too
other
far.
Guys are going
he's
to
too far,
too.
And there's too many guys in front of him.
And Evan's right. He's too far behind. It's going to be a good story in the end, setting him up for future.
But yeah, I don't think he's going to win.
If he would have started off hot, then their conversation would have been even better now. But he didn't start off hot. All these other guys started off hot.
I was going to ask, is Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, is that the best quarterback wide receiver combo in the league?
Right now, it's tough.
Right, I mean,
Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase is pretty good.
Cooper Kupp is doing a little bit different things than some of the other receivers. Murray Hopkins is not putting up big numbers together.
Rodgers.
Like I'm saying, Kupp leads Rogers, the league in catches, yards, and touchdowns.
Oh, it's a lot.
So you start thinking about it, I'm like, okay, Matthew Stafford's playing better, Cooper Kupp,
yeah,
like the receiver.
You know what I think it is there?
They need to see me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to see me. The offense goes through me.
Every time.
You know what I think it is there, though? McVay gets – sometimes the coach gets a lot of credit, and he probably deserves some, right, for the success of what's going on the field, or even a tandem, like Gurley and Goff, a lot of that people could see is McVay, the way he's helping.
But Gurley was already an MVP.
Using Gurley to help Goff, the way he was using him. The thing about Burrow and Chase is it looks like a carryover from college to people.
Yeah.
It looks that way. I agree, Joe Burrow's probably not going to win MVP. But he, if he continues like this, is going to force his name into the conversation.
His name will be brought up if he continues to win. But it won't be – it'll just be brought up for the sake of bringing it up. He probably won't get one single vote unless it's somebody from Cincinnati.
Know what else we have to start asking? You know, people like talk about triplets and stuff. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon. That's pretty good. You're talking about triplets in the league? That's pretty good. There aren't that many who are firing on all cylinders at three spots.
Yeah,
I
can't. I only can speak to triplets in the Cowboy land, man. That you know,
they got them
because that's a different level.
But you know what it is? I guess it's true in Cincinnati too. They have so many receivers. Who do you choose for the triplets?
Well, I think Dak is a lot more advanced in the MVP conversation than Joe Burrow, right? So
yeah.
that's the elevation of all those. Together.
No, I'm talking about the triplets. The original triplets.
Oh, okay.
When I say triplets, I'm like the playmaker Emmitt and Troy.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, people have been trying to put triplets together for years. That's a triplet.
Yeah, of course. And you got three
Hall
of
Famers.
Right, yeah, no
that
doubt.
That was the
but
real triplet.
But there
triplets.
Have been, like we saw the Chiefs a couple years ago with the best quadruplets I can remember, when you counted in Kareem Hunt for that little minute where you said, oh, damn, they have the quarterback at that level, the wide out, the tight end,
the
running back.
I actually thought, as crazy as it sounds, I actually thought that at some point, it could have been a triplets in Cleveland with Chubb, Baker, and OBJ, but don't look like that. That's going to go well.
Nope.
I don't even know if that's going to be a single.
Just one kid. Forget about triplets. Just one. Speaking of MVPs, the guy who I said was going to fall off the cliff in 2016, I said on the outskirts, by the end of the 2018 season, it's over for him. Not just since I made that prediction. Maybe since the end of 2018, he almost has a Hall of Fame career. He's 44 years old. He has 21 touchdowns against 3 interceptions. He's second in the league in QBR. His team is on fire, not just beating teams, but beating the brakes off teams. My goodness. He's leading the league in attempts, completions, and yards. Tom Brady's pretty good, and you cannot talk MVP without talking Tom Brady now. How do you do it? He's in any conversation. He has a very good case to be MVP right now. Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, apologies. You could easily give the award to Tom Brady right now.
You could give it to Tom Brady. I'll take Tom Brady over a lot of them quarterbacks that's on that list. I'll rock with Tom 100%. I'm taking Tom Brady over Kyler Murray. I don't give a damn what you tell
right,
me.
But a lot of that, too, is you can say whatever you want.
Josh, I'm taking him over Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I'm taking him over Lamar, mm-hmm. Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. I'm taking him over all them dudes.
Yeah, you could say
I don't care how old he is.
What about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you see, I didn't say that.
Right, but would you
take
him over?
You didn't go that far.
No, I'm not taking him over Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I mean, would you take Aaron Rodgers?
Because if I gave Aaron Rodgers what Tom is working with, we would be doing the same thing.
I think that's the thing, right? Between the TDs. I mean, he spread the ball out so much because of all the offensive weapons he has. And that doesn't take away from him having a phenomenal year because he does. He's in the MVP conversation for sure. But, I mean, damn, it was like Mike Evans yesterday. I mean, before that, it was Godwin. I mean, before that, it was Gronk. I mean, you can insert a lot of different names for all the weapons he has.
And the beauty about it is he doesn't put up huge yardage numbers. You know, he's going to be a 20 to 36 completion guy, 36 attempts, 20 completions, you know, 200 and some efficient yards, though, in four touchdowns. So what that means to me is he's getting the ball to the right people in the right situations, and that's what he's been doing. Even when he won the Super Bowl a year ago, he didn't have gaudy numbers. He had 200 yards in the Super Bowl.
But he has them this year.
But he had three touchdowns. And that's important, getting your team into the end zone.
But also, Mac, it really helps.
He has them this year. He has gaudy numbers this year.
But it also helps. I mean, Leonard Fournette's been having one fantastic year, right? So when you have that run game like that, the optionality.
He doesn't have gaudy numbers.
But I'm saying he's leading. He's second in QBR. He's leading the league in complete attempts, completions, and yards. And touchdowns, 21-3 touchdown interception.
Yeah, but the touchdown part is the gaudy statistic.
Yeah.
The yards and stuff, that's because he's efficient. And he knows what to do with the football.
Yeah, not yards per attempt.
Yeah,
but
he knows what to do with the ball.
But,
like,
Key, if you're on pace for over 50 but here's the other thing. Before we get on pace for everything, consider this. He played football longer than anyone else. He won the Super Bowl, right? So given his age and the miles on him, the fact that he played football the longest, and we're in a 17-game season, and he's leading the league in attempts and yards and completions.
Well, a lot of that goes to where he's at. The system is in. Not only that, you got an offensive coordinator and a young mind in Byron Leftwich who's not falling asleep with the clicker in his hand. He hasn't been around for 60 years where people just automatically crown him as the best guru in America.
He's earning it.
He's totally earning it. Totally earning it. And people would say it's because Tom Brady is there. Well, it really isn't. It's about the design of the plays. It's about calling a play. I can take the same playbook from Josh McDaniels over 20 years and drop it in Tampa, and you would think, oh, okay, but if I'm not calling it the right way, we won't have success.
Gotta have a feel for the game.
No, you gotta have a feel for the game. Byron Leftwich has a feel for the game. He knows what Brady likes. He knows when to dial stuff up. Like, it's just a perfect situation.
Jameis Winston, by the way, for all the celebration of the 30 turnovers, 30 interceptions that year, led the league in passing yards that year.
Yeah, Byron Leftwich was helping him out.
Yeah, 30-plus touchdowns and led the league in yards that year. So even an inexperienced guy who's turnover-prone had some success in that offense. Guys,
I just hope Byron gets a job and don't take a bad job for the sake of getting a job.
By the way, everyone talks Bieniemy, but Byron Leftwich is right there.
Well, I think Bieniemy, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles, those are my three. Leslie Frazier, Brian Daboll,
at least has had a shot, and Bieniemy and Leftwich have not.
What do you think the right job would be for Byron Leftwich? Knowing what you know where the league is at right now.
A good team.
Which
Because I ain't ready to fire nobody yet, man.
Okay.
No, I'm not ready to fire.
Who are you ready to fire, Jay? And give Leftwich the job.
Jay firing the dudes in Chicago. I already know what Jay doing.
I mean, I've been on the Nagy kick. I would take him in Chicago. I think that wouldn't be a bad fit at all.
Oh, yeah.
See, it all depends on – when I say a right job, a guy like Byron Leftwich has to have – or any of these coaches that get jobs. If you walk into a situation with no quarterback, you're a damn fool.
Right, of course.
You got to – I'm not taking a job to just be taking a job.
You got
to
identify like the quarterback.
Like
Byron
Leftwich,
that guy.
A guy like Byron Leftwich, and people say, well, who do you want as a head coach at USC? I try to figure out if you want to coach college football. Do you want to coach college football? Because if you want to coach college football, there's a job at LSU. There's a job out west at USC. You know what I'm saying?
Get some head coaching experience. Yeah.
Well, you don't – well, going to USC and LSU –
that's
it's
like
not.
Being a pro coach.
That's what I was about to say. That's you diving into it.
Well, this but I'm saying you're getting head coaching experience as opposed to just getting.
When you want to get the head coaching experience, you don't take those two jobs. You go to like one of the smaller schools.
Oh no,
this is a
big
way job.
I'm saying for the pros.
It's the same. Like Jay was saying, coaching at coaching at USC or LSU, you might as well coach in the pros. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing.
Let me,
like,
by the way,
Duke, that's like the NBA. The same thing. It's the same thing.
Plus, you have more autonomy at the collegiate level.
See, I've always told my friends that coach Max, I said, man, y'all should look for these Power 5 jobs. You win, go to a couple bowl games, they're going to give you a $200 million extension. In the league, you go to the playoffs two times, you're going to get your ass fired.
Right.
So, you know, but a lot of them go with the ego because
follow,
you know,
the money.
NFL, I'm going to coach at the highest level.
Well, this ain't too about working because the recruiting circuit, what you have to do, you have to put in a lot more.
No, you do.
Like grit and grind.
But I'm going to hire some go-getters.
To go get the job done.
Come on, yeah, man. Yeah. Stop.
One last thing about Brady before we get off this subject, because we got to pay some bills, as you know. He didn't have Gronk or AB. And whatever you want to say, but he has all the other weapons. It's true. It's an embarrassment of riches on offense. The two dudes who I feel he's most comfortable throwing the ball to are Gronk and AB. Like in the Super Bowl, he's throwing touchdowns to those guys. Neither one was on the field, and he just put an all-time beating on a team at the age of 44, having just been to the Super Bowl and leading the world and everything. It is unbelievable. Not only how great he is, but how stacked his team is.
Hey, if Urban Meyer's out in Jacksonville, maybe Byron Leftwich, who had a good career with them, could take over next year, and Trevor Lawrence is there.
Oh, Chicago, Jacksonville.
I'd probably do Chicago over Jacksonville, but he lived in Jacksonville, so
either one makes a lot of sense to me.
Duval.
No state taxes.
He's the offensive rookie of the year, but wasn't the right pick.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Anthony Munoz, Hall of Fame offensive tackle. KJM's presented by Progressive Insurance. A huge win for the Bengals, and we've got a Bengal great with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing today?
Good. Trojan.
Good. This is the person to
ask. All right, fight on, man. Key.
Yeah, we didn't do too much fighting this weekend, but oh well.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going nuts here. I'm just going nuts here in the natty every time I watch, man. We need to turn that thing around. I know we're talking Bengals, but we got to talk first. You know, we got to turn this thing around, man. It's not good.
Yeah, the Bengals certainly turned things around. Yeah. Anthony, how surprised are you about the jump the Bengals made this year opposed to where they were at last year?
Well, you know, Key, I do preseason games. I go to camp and I watch, and I think a lot of things popped out when I was watching at camp, things that I've not really seen in the past. The enthusiasm, just jumping around and the excitement. And, you know, being a former offensive lineman, the first thing I noticed was the secondary. I mean, you know, Hilton and the Woozy. I mean, it's just like, oh, my goodness. And then all of a sudden, you know, these young line. But then I looked at the defensive line and guys like Reeder and, you know, and it's just like, you know, Hendricks. I'm thinking this is a totally different team. And, of course, offensively, you know, being a former offensive lineman, you know, they draft Jamar Chase. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, another weapon for Joe. And I love Joe. You know, I watched every one of his games his senior in college. And then when we drafted him, I was feeling pretty good. But, you know, I'm someone, everyone always asks me, you know, what do you think about this team? And I really, watching them at camp and the way they bounced around, I said, you know, I might be nuts, but I think this is a 10-win team. And but yesterday was a real big surprise. It was huge. But, to handle Baltimore the way they did in Baltimore was a big surprise.
Anthony, when I hear people giving Cincinnati credit, I hear names like Joe Burrow, I hear names like Jamar Chase and the chemistry that they do have. But one of the biggest names I heard this summer, because a lot of people questioned him, was Zach Taylor. I don't hear a lot of the same kind of love or positivity for Zach Taylor. Why do you think that's the case thus far?
I don't know. I mean, the guy, I've gotten to know him really well. And, you know, it's one of those things where, when you don't win, I don't get the love. Maybe they're still waiting. Maybe, you know, maybe yesterday was something that will start giving him some love. But, you know, he's got a few people, made some changes with the assistant coaches, I think was huge. You know, I never wish ill on any coaches, but I know there was something that it shouldn't have been here. And I'm excited about some of the guys they brought in. So maybe now that he has those pieces, they've done a tremendous job in free agency, bringing veteran guys in, some of the guys I mentioned. So maybe now he will. Maybe he, you know, to put 41 on Baltimore, and, I mean, the guy's calling the play. Sure, you have Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and C.J. Uzomah, but, you know, you still got to call the plays, and he's calling some pretty good plays, and he's the man in charge. So I think he needs to start getting some love here.
Talking to Anthony Munoz, Hall of Fame offensive tackle. How's this? 9-time first-team All-Pro. 9-time first-team All-Pro. So we've been having an ongoing discussion, I'd say, Anthony, on this show about the Bengals' draft choice of Jamar Chase. Not only continuity from college with those two guys, but an outstanding receiver to pair with Joe Burrow. Key has still been talking about Sewell and how, and that's what I thought at first, get the blind side protection at first. But I have since, and many have since said, okay, fine. When it works this well, they got it right. Key is still not convinced. He could have gone the other way. Where are you on all this?
Well, and I was a Sewell guy. I was, you know, Jamar Chase. I mean, he's proven already that he's worth the pick. But I was a Sewell guy because of our offensive line. But one thing I did add to that, and I had mentioned earlier, some of the assistant coaches that, you know, are now here that weren't here last year. And one is in particular, he was here 3 years ago. And the fact that we didn't get Sewell, I added, well, I'm glad that we have Frank Pollock. Frank Pollock is an amazing line coach, not only technically, but he gets in your face. He's making these guys work. But I wasn't the Penei Sewell, you know, but now, I mean, I'm kind of saying, well, our line's holding up okay, and we got a lot of weapons. So, you know, very easily could be 6-1 with that loss, to Green Bay there with all the craziness and the kickers. But I was right there in the Sewell camp, but I think I'm starting to go the other way and say, this kid is pretty good.
No, he is, Anthony. There's no question about it. I'd rather have you for 17 years than a receiver for 9.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, yeah, you know.
You got a great point.
That's all.
If you get Anthony Munoz, yeah, if you find him.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm betting Penei Sewell becomes closer to Anthony Munoz than Jamar Chase to Jerry Rice, Randy Moss. That's my bet.
They're both tough to be. Those are high standards in either case. But Jamar Chase so far.
Key, I appreciate you put my name in that category, man. That's awful. That's a great compliment, so thank you for that.
But offensive lineman, though, man.
9-time All-Pro, All-Pro.
But offensive lineman and quarterback, franchise quarterback, I need my guy, my franchise protected. But, like, He said Pollock has done a tremendous job at coaching these guys up on the offensive line and getting things done. So now can the Bengals actually, Jay, Anthony, can they actually compete in the AFC North? Can they win it all?
You know what? I think if they stay healthy, they have a great chance the way they're playing. And I think, you know, and I'm not one that talks about swag, and you know, but, I mean, these guys are confident. I think key confidence plays a big part. You know, if I get out there at left tackle and I'm playing against one of the best defensive end, I shut him down early on, that's going to build my confidence. I'm going to believe that he can't beat me. And I think for them going to Baltimore, and I don't know the last time they beat Baltimore, I think, you know, 2 centuries, man. But, you know, it's they beat them. I think this is going to add to their confidence. Again, if they stay healthy, I think they can compete for this division.
Anthony, what do you see this team needing to improve upon in order to continue to, reach for the ceiling?
I still believe the offensive line. I watch closely. There's still, you know, some inconsistencies at the offensive line, a lot more than I'd like to see, you know, picking up some stunts and just some flat-out one-on-one getting beat. So I think that is the area that still needs to improve. You know, in late in the game, I mean, to see Mixon and, Perry run the ball the way they did, that's telling me there were some pretty good holes there. So I would say the one area I want to continue to see improve is that offensive line. You know, even with some of the breakdowns, you know, Joe he's versatile and, mobile enough to get out of there and hit some big plays. So I think if that's the case, especially in this division, you know, it's a very physical up front, and they need to be stout. And, another big test coming up here soon with Cleveland. And, so I think that's the one area.
The great Anthony Munoz, ladies and gentlemen, and we mean great, Hall of Fame offensive tackle. As I mentioned, 9-time first-team All-Pro. Jeez. Walter Payton, wow. NFL Man of the Year. It's insane. It goes on. Thanks, Anthony, for jumping on with us today.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you guys very much. You have a great day. Enjoy the rest of the
You too. That's Anthony Munoz here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. All right. So week 7 is technically not over. We still got a game left. That's next. KJM, ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Time for the Monday Night Football preview. Let me say that again in English. Monday Night Football preview. Brought to you by Monday Progressive Night Insurance. Football. Here is Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider on Bart and Han. Excellent program. You should check it out here on ESPN Radio. On Cam Newton. Listen to this.
He's one of the 40 best quarterbacks on the planet, if not higher than that. And to me, now that he's vaccinated, and if I'm a team, again, Washington made a lot of sense to me because Coach Rivera had him in Carolina. Fitzpatrick got hurt. The defense has been disappointing. He's a player that makes your team better, and it may not be for Taylor tomorrow, but at some point this season, he may make the difference.
What about Seattle, who's playing tonight? Thoughts on Cam to Seattle?
Only if Russell Wilson isn't coming back. You can't bring Cam into the fold with Russell Wilson there. Russell Wilson has to be injured for a significant amount of time, and you have to feel like you can still compete.
I know there's this knee-jerk reaction that we have to bring Cam back right now, but if you're Cam, the best move is to sit steady. See what the best opportunity
is.
Best
move is the next move.
Yeah, but for a long term, though. Also, like, hey, okay, like, not can I just come in and play right now, but is there a legitimate shot that this could be my franchise for the next couple of years?
Sustainability for him, yeah. That was the Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
No, not in Seattle. I'm just saying for the right situation.
I know, I'm just shaking my head because I'm trying to think, like, where could that be?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Well,
clearly.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Of course.
Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Okay. Jets quarterback Zach Wilson is set for an MRI after leaving the Jets 54-13 loss to the Patriots with a knee injury. The rookie quarterback left during the second quarter, was later ruled out for good. Source told ESPN's Rich Cimini that the Jets are hopeful that the PCL injury is not season-ending. They're hopeful because if it's a mild PCL sprain, Zach Wilson could return in 3 to 4 weeks. I mean, this is bad, folks. They're hoping, the Jets, that maybe he can return in 3 to 4 weeks and not miss the rest of the season. So let me ask you this, Key. What about Cam to the Jets?
Nah, for what? I'm not messing with the Jets to do what?
I agree. Can't. By the way, the Jets is a bad situation.
I just watch how much Zach Wilson is getting hit, and you want me to come back to that team?
No. In fact, the Steelers make so much sense for him, and he for the Steelers. Like when you look, they don't have a succession plan from Ben Roethlisberger. It's okay. You want to say it's Dwayne Haskins? Good luck with that. It's obviously not Mason Rudolph. So Cam Newton is better than those guys. He won 7 games on a depleted team in a COVID year with COVID, the whole thing, with no offensive weapons, with most of his defense deciding not to play, still won 7 games, right? He's pretty good.
Yeah,
Cam
Pittsburgh,
is pretty good.
Yes. Mike Tomlin, they should get on the phone and talk to Cam if they haven't already and see if he wants to come there, sit tight, see what happens with Ben and move forward after this year.
Key, what should the Jets do then? Like if Wilson's out for a prolonged
just
period,
just keep playing the dude.
No,
white.
No, we're not going. No, I'm not. I will not watch another Jets game if Mike White is the starting quarterback.
What?
I will not
and
watch.
You're not the first person to ever say that. So they're not worried about what you're talking about.
I will not watch another Jets game if they start Mike White.
You think they're gonna lose?
Can
sleep?
They get? I mean, the trade deadline's a week from tomorrow. We have Mike Tannenbaum.
Who are you trading for,
though?
What are you trading for?
I would take
who?
Nick Foles.
Why would you want to put Nick Foles
I would
in
take
that
Joe
crap?
Flacco
he can't
back.
Play behind a bad offensive line, Nick Foles. Evan, let me tell you something.
I would
something.
Take Joe Flacco back. I would take anything.
Evan, I say this with love, but you have to hear my message here.
See me, I would have, like...
The reason the Jets stink is because they don't believe you for a second when you say, Jets fans will watch every Jets game, no matter how bad they are. That's why there's no motivation for them to get any better.
But see, if I was
Jets, and I watch Red Zone, and if I'm watching the Red Zone channel, I guarantee I will never see a Jets offensive snap.
The thing is, Evan, you think I don't know what I'll be talking about this football, I get it. You think I'm like a squash player and stuff like that. I understand that. But me personally, things that I would have done, and I understand Joe Douglas, everybody wants to give him an opportunity, a chance to build it the way he wants to. I would have signed somebody like Mitch Trubisky, man. And I would have did something else with the pick. I'm just telling you.
Well, it turns out Mitch Trubisky might be
Sam.
Mitch Trubisky might be the greatest quarterback of all time.
Or I would have kept Sam.
A great situation.
Or I would have kept Sam, but if I didn't need to keep Sam because I could sign Mitch Trubisky for the low cheap and he would have been the starting quarterback.
But I've been through that with the Jets. I've been through the Ryan Fitzpatrick and the
Mr.
Josh McCown
ain't no Ryan
for
Fitzpatrick,
a year.
No Josh
and
McCown.
The Bobby Bristers and the Tom Tupas. I've been through all this.
It was unclear how good Mitch Trubisky was because he thrived in a way in a Matt Nagy offense in that situation.
Man, I'm
apparently
telling you.
He went to the playoffs twice. He went to the playoffs.
That's why I'm telling you.
I say that. But this is why I'm telling you. For me, if I was Joe Douglas and I wasn't keeping Sam, I wouldn't have drafted Zach Wilson. I would have did something else with that pick, and I wouldn't have got me a guy that people thought was a throwaway that has some talent, that done something, because clearly Matt Nagy was an issue in Chicago.
By the way, Becton going down to, guys, Zach Wilson, the Jets, I thought, had the right thought. Let's swing for the fences and get a guy we think can be great. Key, obviously, you don't think Zach Wilson can be great. But the Jets thought that. I can't knock a team for going after greatness if they really thought it.
What's reasonable for the Jets this year, Evan? Like you say, get Joe Flacco, get somebody.
No. It's beyond that. I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to answer your question. Just being competitive, being competent. Like, that's all I'm asking for. They have shown up to every game. Like, they always say, like, a team gets off the bus, like, 15 points.
No, they literally
got
off the bus.
The Jets literally get off the bus down 14 points.
They do literally get off the bus.
Because they can't score in the first quarter. They have not scored one single point in the first quarter this year. They get off the bus down 14. So if the spread is like, -3, like, if the team's, it's actually -17. Because they are so bad, they're so incompetent, they are so poorly prepared. Like, yes, they're a young team. But the young team needs to be prepared by the coaching staff. I'm not calling for Robert Saleh's job. I'm just frustrated that they show up to every game unprepared. And somehow they beat the Tennessee Titans. Like, can we? They somehow beat the Titans who just beat the Bills and
Chiefs.
That'll
never happen again, though. I mean, like, come on. And every now and then, you like to see some flashes of young players.
Jets fans ask for too much. You just won a Super Bowl 52 years ago. Come on, Evan, calm down.
We piling on. Giant
fans. It's been 52 years already.
Giant fans, though. Y'all piling on now?
Well, it wasn't 50 years ago, was it?
52 years
ago. Wasn't 50 years ago, was it?
And all of a sudden they want to win another Super Bowl. Be patient. Be patient, Jets fans. I think there's a fairly good chance. I don't know if I put it at 50-50. In the next 48 years, you probably win another Super Bowl. So that's one every 100 years.
Great. I got a bottle of wine that's a Jets bottle of wine that I said I would open the next time they go to the Super Bowl. I'm sure it'll taste great.
That's part of the
In
problem.
In 48
though,
years,
Jets
I'm sure
wine.
It'll taste great.
To start off there, anybody
it was
drinking
a wedding
Jets
present.
Wine,
that's a problem.
That's a problem to start with.
It was a wedding present, Key. Right?
I thought, listen, Becton and Vera,
all the wine
they
did.
Thought they had the right idea. Quarterback, blindside protection, a guard who can play on the left side, who can also play tackle, a little depth.
Are you still talking about them?
Decent plan to me. It just didn't happen.
That's how I feel about it.
Early stages.
That's how I feel about it.
The most a Jets fan can ask for. I'm not a Jets fan. I don't care, but I'm just saying. Like, Jets fans are funny to me, but, like, you see, they live and die with the team, and no matter what happens, they'll always watch the
That's
Jets.
That's the same
not
thing
anymore.
Giant fans do.
I'm telling you, if they get a Super Bowl every now and then. If Mike White is starting on Sunday, I will not watch a snap.
He's starting.
And then I'm not watching a snap.
He's going to watch he won't watch every play. He'll watch every play until they're down 21-3, and then he'll go to the store
and
run.
He's lying.
Out.
He will watch snaps. No. He cannot help himself.
No, I will not watch this
It just might
game.
Not be on the big screen. It'll still be on Red Zone.
No.
Pay attention to it on Red Zone.
It will not be on the big screen. It will not be on the iPad.
Yeah,
and
who do the Jets play this weekend?
And anytime they go to the Jets game on Red Zone, I will not.
Who do they play,
Evan?
Who do they play?
He's looking.
They're playing the Bengals.
They're gonna lose that one.
Yeah.
Bengals, imagine that. Bye week for the Bengals. Bengals, Colts, Bills, Dolphins.
Well, they could win.
November 28th, they play the Texans. I'll watch that game.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max Greeny coming up. We'll be back tomorrow. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.